Well, hello, everyone. This is the new American Dream Radio Show. We're streaming live from Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Once again this week, our Skype has decided to kind of take a flyer on us, but we're going to push along and we're going to get this show going. So, with no further ado, I'm going to skip my song this week so that I can do some technical stuff, and I'm going to ask Mike to take over right away. This is Mike Palachek, my good friend and American writer.
Thanks, Chuck. Tonight we welcome these special guests, Papa Bird, Azura Crispino, Jim Fetzer, Thomas Wortman, Frank Cordero, and Philip Ferrugio. So this Thursday evening, we're gathering for the new American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, in northern Minnesota, in Port Orange, Florida, in Des Moines, Iowa, in Los Angeles, in Austin, Texas, in Madison, Wisconsin, in Cleveland, Ohio, and wherever you are. My recommended list: Scott Creighton, Cabin Talk, and Truth Stream Media. They're all on YouTube. They're all talking about the Alex Jones Sandy Hook issue in a way you'll not hear from mainstream sources and in a way we all need to hear. YouTube, Scott Creighton, Claudia on Cabin Talk, and Truth Stream Media. Scott Creighton, you'll have to go to YouTube and search for Willie Loman or everyman.com, Scott Creighton. Scott Creighton, Claudia on Cabin Talk, and Truth Stream Media. Listen to them while we still can. And our first guest of the evening is Ava Bird. We had Ava Bird on last week, and we had technical difficulties. And besides that, it's a story that we need to retell, maybe just keep telling and telling, because it's very important. We're going to replay it from last week. It's Ava's experience at LAX, the airport in Los Angeles. She's trying to take a dream vacation trip to Paris, but to do so, she would have had to give in to the thugs of terror, the thugs of America, and she did not. So she did not go to Paris. She fought for herself, for us all, in saying that it's all a lie. It's all based in a big, gigantic lie about 9/11, and that's the truth. The wars, the millions slaughtered, the continuing closing in on the people of America, it's all based in the official lie of 9/11. And Ava came right up to it face to face at LAX. And now, Chuck, if you can, let's listen to Ava Bird in Los Angeles.
Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Ava.
Happy August.
It's great to have you.
Happy August.
Happy August to you. I understand you had a rather eventful July that you were telling me about. I'm hoping that you will share your experience with our listeners. It sounded, harrowing at best.
I would love the opportunity to share this experience, and I appreciate the opportunity to do so, and thanks for giving me the forum and for, allowing me to talk about it. It's a sensitive issue for everybody, and it's something that we don't really talk about as a country, as a society, and we should. But I had an experience where I was harassed and profiled and abused and molested at the airport by this day. And I'll go into it, and I'll tell you the long story short. And if there's any listeners that have any insight as to what I can do about this, or if there's any recourse, or I'm really stuck about what to do about it, because, as many people know, the TSA is like the IRS or like the pharmaceutical companies, where they have complete immunity for whatever they're doing. They can murder, they can maim, and they have immunity. So this is what is so upsetting about this, is that there's, you know, you could do nothing wrong and actually be taken, arrested and taken to jail, and nobody's held accountable. In fact, it's you that's accountable for their mistake. So this is what is really upsetting to me. And basically what happened was, I had taken a last minute dream vacation. I had some time off that I hadn't expected to have, and I decided that I was going to go to Paris and, you know, be an artist there for a couple of weeks. It was a real dream trip, and I was really excited about it. And I packed my bags, and I drove to a parking lot and parked my car and took a shuttle to the airport. And I was nothing but ecstatic about traveling and taking this trip. I was going by myself. So I don't have any photos or video or witnesses that's in my possession right now about what happened, but I'm trying to get that. But basically, I get to the airport, you know, on time, and I check in my bag. And, I walk up to the stupid lines at the TSA, take off your shoes and all the nonsense and stuff to do with it. And nobody really speaks up about it. And nobody really talks about, you know, what a ridiculous activity that is, to have to go through and, you know, those machines, the radiation machines, some people call them rape machines, because you stand up there and you have to put your hands up in the air. And, you know, the thing goes around. One, you know, it's radiation in your body. And two, it's a complete violation of your bodily autonomy. I mean, you know, they can practically see the plaque on your brain from those machines. So, you know, I had put all my stuff on the conveyor belt and walked it through and, you know, took off stupid shoes and all that stuff. And I walked through the machine and, you know, it beeped or something happened. And she said, you know, what's in your pocket? And in my back pocket, I had some cash, paper money that I had, paper in my back pocket. And I took it out. I said, oh, this is cash. I didn't put it on the thing. And, you know, and she said, oh, we're going to have to pat you down. And I have my boundaries about being personally violated, and I don't like the machine, and I don't like the pat downs either, because it's a physical violation. It's actually a severe physical violation, because they're touching your sexual organs. And I had done it before. I had decided that I didn't want the radiation in my body in a previous experience, so I decided to do the pat down. And when I did that, I said I was never going to do it again, because it was such a violation of my body. So it's like, you know, the lesser of two evils, you know. And you know, like I said, I'll do one or the other, even though I don't want to. But if I have to, you know, I have to. So I chose to walk through the machine. And then when they said you have to have the pat down, it was a boundary violation for myself, for my own personal integrity and my own personal ethics. It was not okay to be touched in that way by anybody. And I didn't have anything on me. I didn't have any drugs. I didn't have any guns or knives. I didn't have anything that would warrant, you know, a physical pat down search. You know, like I said, it was just cash. It was paper money in my back pocket. So I said, and the girl also has come over. She was, you know, we're going to pat you down. And then started, he was already like bumping into me and touching me and stuff. And I was really uncomfortable. I didn't want to be touched by this person or anybody. But I did feel like I was being, you know, I felt like it was like they were profiling me, that they wanted to do this, like they were going out of their way to do this to me. And it was not okay with me. And I politely said, I don't want to be touched. I don't want anybody touching me. And I'll walk through the machine again, or I'll just leave. I'll take my things and leave, but I don't want anybody to touch me. And so, of course, you know, oh, we have to call the supervisor. So the supervisor came over, and I told her the same thing. And she said, well, we can do a private screening in a private room. no, we won't. So, you know, again, I said about at least 5 or 10 times that I'm not consenting to being groped or violated or sexually molested by anybody at the PSA or anyone. I made it very clear. And, you know, I wasn't nasty. It wasn't mean. I just was very clear about what my boundaries were. And she said, well, we're going to have to call the police then. So I thought, well, I mean, what can the police really do? If you're just saying no to a sexual violation, then that's got to be respected or at least honored. But that isn't the case now. Thanks to the Patriot Act and our mentally retarded President George W. Bush that, signed in the Patriot Act. This is part of the Patriot Act from the false flag, complete lie of 9/11. This is the result of that. So we're all subject to complete molestation by low-level employees of the TSA in the airport. And going back to my story, they did call the police, and of course they swarmed over as if, you know, there was some kind of big terrorist attack. Of course, that don't really exist anyway. But the police came, and just within a split second, they handcuffed me and arrested me and didn't read me my rights, didn't say anything. I mean, they were about as retarded as George W. Bush. They were emotionally and mentally and, complete low life. That's not a surprise, but, this whole time I've got my shoes off. They've got all my things. They're looking through my things, five and 10 times. Of course, they can't find anything because they don't have anything on me that was dangerous or that was a weapon or that wasn't allowed. They proceeded to, tell me that they were threatening me. This is going to go on your record. You better consent to this. And this, I said, no, I just kept saying, no, I'm not consenting to being sexually violated. It's not okay with me. And after about 45 minutes of them standing around like I'm some piece of meat, they're waiting to gang rape me, they finally decide that they broke me anyway while I'm in handcuffs. So while about 10 police officers and TSA agents and now the airport personnel from the airline that I was flying on had come up to the area too to watch the gangbang, they came and they groped me, they pat me down, but it was about five times that they checked, my body for nothing that they were ever able to find. As many times as I refused politely and said no, wasn't okay, that I didn't want to do it, and that I would actually just leave. Look, I'll take my things and I'll leave. I even offered that. No, I wasn't allowed to leave. I had to submit to a sexual grooming and a sexual violation by the police and the TSA. And not only that, they still arrested me and took me to jail. So there goes my dream vacation. There goes all my, the airline ticket I didn't get refunded on, and my bag check. That was another $90 for my bag, the check that never went to Paris either. The ticket said trespassing, refusal to submit to a TSA search, although they did it anyway, although I put all my bags and stuff on that thing and did as much as I could within my personal ethics. I was willing to, do what I did, and I wasn't willing to do anymore, but they forced me to go beyond what my morality and what my ethics are. So, to me, this, I know that it happens to people every day. And I know that there are people that are afraid to speak out, or they won't, or they can't for whatever reason. But I'm not afraid, and I am speaking out, and this is not okay. I know that it's a lie that we have a democracy. I know that. A lot of people don't know that, but, at least the people are pretending. But even now, this is obvious that you can't really pretend that we have a democracy when these things exist in our, basic daily lives. I mean, flying is a part of life for people. Somebody's sick, you have a sick parent, a sick kid, a relative, a funeral, a wedding. You have to get on an airplane and go. And you have to submit to being sexually and physically and religiously violated. I mean, to me, I have an agreement with a partner that nobody is to touch us sexually. And that was a violation of my personal relationship and, again, my personal ethics. And it's not okay with me. And I'm really upset that this happened to me and that it happens to other people. And just the fact that they didn't just let it go, that they actually arrested me and took me to jail for that. And they were never able to find anything, the ticket. They had to let me go once they took me to the jail. They had to let me go because they didn't have anything on me. They couldn't keep me.
Well, Arbor, so, I'm so sorry this happened to you, and I admire your, getting out there, telling us about it, and I hope that you can find some way to fight back, the ACLU or an attorney, something, because this is just wrong, and it's just totally wrong.
It's completely wrong, and they're doing it to, old ladies, little babies, searching little babies, and, come on, this is not a democracy. We have a constitution. This is a search and seizure. Did they have a warrant to, to look through all my things? And, it's pathetic. This is a pathetic, pathetic democracy, pretend fake democracy. And to pretend that we have this and to live in it and for people to just live this lie, it's not okay.
Yeah, you're right. Well, Ava, thank you
so
much. We're going to have to stop now, but thank you so much for sharing this with us. And I'm sad and I'm angry that this happened to you. It's just really wrong. And
thank you for listening and for being compassionate about the experience. I'm really mad and angry too. I mean, this has only been a couple of weeks now, 2 weeks, and I'm still really, I feel like, I just feel really violated on a deep, deep, personal and physical level. And, I still feel it in my body, just that whole experience. And that, there goes, this is my dream vacation. I mean, aside from that, and even the biggest disappointment, but that's there too, that I didn't get to go to Paris and, I had to go back home and, but anyway, I appreciate the opportunity to share this and, if this can spark anybody else into action and to say, look, this is not okay. I mean, as a society, we have to collectively get together and say these institutions are not constitutional, and they're not acceptable in a responsible, humane, moral society. This is not right. So if anybody has any information on what I can do, or you file complaints, but they just laugh. They look at it. It's nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
They're just going to probably laugh about it, that's the part that really upsets me too.
If any of our listeners know of some way that Ava can fight this, please contact us. You can contact me, CWG@CWGServices.com, or MikeNWestIowa@gmail.com, and we will make sure to get you in touch with Ava, and we'll try to make something happen here. And thank you so much.
Thanks. I really appreciate that. And it did happen in California at LAX, information.
That's important.
Thanks a lot, Chuck. I appreciate, again, the opportunity, and thanks for your compassion and your heart and for the wonderful show and all the work that you guys do,
Thank you. Thank bye. You, Ava. And we'll talk to you next month on a happier note, I hope.
Okay. And I've got some great, fresh poetry that I'll hopefully be able to share
next
month without any other nightmares.
Sounds good. Okay.
Bye-bye. Thanks again. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving and that resisting the American Empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
Well, you know, this is this month is the anniversary of the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And so I thought I would sing you a little song written by a guy named Tom Lehrer quite a long time ago. So something like this. When you attend a funeral, it is sad to think that sooner or later you, those you love, will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives. Just think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry. No more ashes, no more sackcloth. An armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you get your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve. And we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we'll all go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. Oh, we will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we'll all fry together when we fry. Down by the old maelstrom, there'll be a storm before the calm. And we will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. Oh, we will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a Te Deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will become as you are. We will all burn together when we burn. There'll be no need to stand and wait your turn. When it's time for the fallout and St. Peter calls us all out, we'll just drop our agendas and adjourn. And we will all go together when we go. Every hottentot and every Eskimo. When the air becomes uranious, we will all go simultaneous. Yes, we'll all go together. We will all go together. We will all go together when we go.
Nice song, Chuck. That's cool. Hey, in our next segment, we're going to try and contact Frank Cordero. I think Frank is out east, but we've been trying to get in touch with him, but haven't been able to. We're also going to, again, be talking to Azura Crispino. If you were a listener last week. You will remember that we talked to Azure Crispino. We had technical difficulties, and it was like Ava Bird's piece that was just very strong, and we thought we'd like to replay that again. So in the next segment, we're going to talk to Phil Ferruccio, try to talk to Frank Cordero, and again, we're going to replay Azure Crispino's fantastic segment that she gave us last week. And Chuck, you were at an event last night. Do you want to tell us quick what you had going on?
Well, it was the National Night Out Against Crime, which is a big event that takes place all over the country. And,
listen to Revolution Radio at
freedomslips.com. Sundays at Pride.
Got
the opportunity to sing at a National Night Out event in North Lauderdale.
And, find some comfort at Willow's World.
We had a great time.
A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
And I'll tell you, the kids that, even though we were playing mostly 60s and 70s music,
she travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream-of-consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
On the neo-Nazi revival. You know, we have an anniversary coming up. I think it's next week, the one-year anniversary of those idiots in Charlottesville, you know, marching with their torches, and our genius president telling that they were coming in with nice people. Please go and watch the 2001 film, Focus, directed by Neil Cliven and starring William H. Macy and Laura Dern. It's based on the great playwright Arthur Miller's novel of the same name. The film takes place in the waning months of World War II, when a man and his new wife are mistakenly identified as Jews by their anti-Semitic Brooklyn, New York City neighbors. They soon become victims of religious and racial persecution. Many of us may not realize just how bad things were for Jews and blacks during the World War II years. We have this illusion that all for one and one for all was the motto of the day. as America fought off the German and Japanese threat of world domination. Well, as the movie revealed, even in the northern cities, Jews were restricted from many jobs, housing, and places for vacation, which the film covered. The employers of businesses and owners of housing and hotels actually used the word restricted in advertisements and billboards. For blacks up north, just their color alone was enough to have them restricted from employment or housing, let alone a hotel accommodation. So Jim Crow and Jim Cone was not only in the South. Many will state, and perhaps rightly so, that we have come a long way since the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Yet, the hate is still there, ingrained in the minds of white Christian Americans, or should I say, Americans with a K. It stays hidden from public view, reserved for private home conversations or whispered invectives and not-so-funny jokes. Why? Well, our government has always taken the high road, officially and publicly, to condemn such behavior, even if not doing enough to stop it until now. What transpired in Charlottesville, Virginia last August let the proverbial neo-Nazi horse out of the barn of tolerance. Those mostly young men, and some women too, marched with their Nazi-like torches that night in Charlottesville, chanting, "Jews won't replace us," when factored in with Donald Trump saying later on that some of them were nice people, that was a warning sign to alert us. Mix in the virtual silence from the Israeli regime of Netanyahu and that of many Jewish members of the Trump cabinet administration, and of course, all those Jewish folks who supported him, and we all start better worrying. So we all better start worrying. Quite candidly, the Fourth Reich is upon us. Of course, when Trump and many of his lowly evolved followers, and some of them are well-educated, expressed their disdain for the Mexican and Central American undocumented, many decent-thinking white fellow Americans thought of it as foolish rhetoric. When they pointed fingers at Muslims living or traveling here, we again shook our heads at such folly. But now, we have seen the so-called alt-right finally going beyond the pale. Now, the hatred is front and center, using anti-Semitism as a focal point. This new neo-Nazi mindset has come out of the closet and has the President of the United States to legitimize it. Folks, it's just not simply about Donald Trump, who many historians claim had a father who actually was part of the new KKK in the 1920s. No, it is much bigger than that. This resurgence of the alt-right, which has always been with us, is leading the way to a much more heinous acts of justifications for such thought. Focus on that, if you would. Thank you.
Our next guest of the show is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero usually joins us each week from Des Moines, Iowa, Des Moines Catholic Worker. Right now, Frank is traveling. He's out east, and we haven't been able to reach him, but we're going to try and see if we can reach Frank Cordero live. So, Chuck, if you would, try and call Frank and see if he feels like talking.
Okay, we're going to give that a try, Mike. I think he's actually at a vigil in Des Moines. I think he's been home.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But anyhow, we're going to give it a try. And let's see. Here we go. Cross the fingers.
Chuck.
Hello, Frank.
Hello. Hey, just got out of jail.
You did. We wondered.
I told them so.
Yeah.
Hey, you're live on the air. Tell us all about it.
Oh, well, I'm just really hot and miserable, but that's the way it normally is. What happened was we showed up with 13 people. We had a bit of a rally. And at the end of the rally, Jacob and I, two Des Moines Catholic workers, Jacob's a new kid, he's 25, and he's on the track to be a Catholic worker, a wonderful young man. and myself, we were the ones who risked the rest and went down to the gate and did our normal thing. The police arrested us, of course, and took us to Polk County. And Jacob got out for just because he the charge doesn't carry any jail time. So they kicked him out with a citation. I paid $300 because I needed to get out because I'm catching a plane tomorrow in Chicago to go and spend 2.5 weeks in London and Dublin to primarily greet the Pope with other Catholic workers. And Kieran O'Reilly, wonderful Catholic worker I've spoken of many times. And Kieran is trying to persuade the Vatican to intervene on Assad's behalf and offer Assad a safe harbor, a place to stay at the Vatican. So that's really interesting. Looking forward to doing that. So I got a busy plate here. I'm glad I'm out of jail. We'll pick up the battle when we return. Hello?
Well, I'm just glad to hear you're out of jail. We really were wondering what happened, so it's great to
Well, I got one little thing. I got a court date set for August 24th, and I'll still be out of the country, so I could be greeted with a warrant. I got to call into my attorney to see if he can get that covered for me, but, well, these are the things you do. So
like
stay tuned.
Problem.
And I All will right. not be able to call till the, you know, after the 27th, so I will have a full report when I get back.
Ah, okay. Well, you have a
Thanks,
great
Chuck.
Trip. Have a great trip.
Thank you, guys. Down Thank you both. Back. All right.
Okay.
All right. Thank God you. Bless. Thank you. Bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was cool. We'll just go on to our next guest, Azura Crispino. Azura Crispino joins us usually each month. She is a philosophy professor at Austin Community College in Austin, Texas. She usually speaks on prison issues, and the one we're going to, the segment we're going to hear right now is on prison issues. And so now we're going to hear Azura Crispino in Austin, Texas.
Hello, New American Dream listeners. This is Azura Crispino of Prison Abolition and Prisoner Support, or PAS, joining you today. As a reminder, August 21st, we'll kick off another round of prison strikes and disturbances. For those of you who aren't familiar with the date, Black August refers to the entirety of the month of August in terms of its history of prison uprisings and specifically being African-American led. But the 21st of August specifically deals with the anniversary of the assassination of George Jackson. We already have two prisoners that are in urgent need of help. So today's episode is basically dedicated to the prisoners of Ohio. The first prisoner in Ohio who really needs your help is Siddiqui Abdullah Hassan. He has been on hunger strike since Saturday. The background there is that on Friday, July 27th, Hassan was locked down on a conduct report signed by Brian Wittrup at the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections Central Office, which refers to his receiving information about the upcoming prison strike. Over the weekend, a phone zap was organized, and we are asking for people to call and write in to Director Gary Moore at 614-752-1153. If you don't have that available, you can check it out on the paptexas.blogspot.com website, or you can also get this information firsthand from the Central Ohio Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee, or IWOC. They're the ones that are organizing the call-in strike for Hassan, but effectively, even though the prison strikes have not even begun yet, he is already being retaliated against. For those of you who don't recall Hassan's story, he's currently being held at Ohio State Penitentiary in Youngstown, Ohio, where he has been convicted of a death which we all believe him to be innocent of, related to the Lucasville uprising. Also in Ohio, we have another situation of heavy retaliation. this time with Sean Swain. So for context, I just went to visit Sean when I was just in Ohio, and the situation with him is pretty dire. So for those of you who are unaware, Sean Swain is well known as an anarchist prisoner. He has a history of writing some really beautiful satire, including a book that was recently published called The Last Act of the Circus Animal. A piece was written and attributed to Sean and posted online advocating the use of drones to drop weapons and tobacco into prison, basically saying if Nat Turner were alive today, this is what Nat Turner would be doing. But there is no evidence that Sean actually wrote this piece, and indeed an activist has come forward and claimed responsibility for having written this piece. Nevertheless, after Sean had filed a lawsuit against Trevor Clark, who is the assistant attorney for the Ohio Department of Corrections, Sean received a write-up for having written this piece, which he denied having written, or at least said that there was no evidence that he had written. And basically what's happening right now is that they initially increased Sean's security level from a 3 to a 4, which means that when I went to visit him, he was handcuffed, and then his handcuffs were tied to a belt around his waist. So we had to get really creative in terms of me just being able to hug him, not to mention that he couldn't reach for a soda. And the justification was that he had written this piece. So I was able to go visit Sean again after he had his disciplinary hearing. In this disciplinary hearing, he was not given a written write-up of the grievance. He was not given any ability to question his accusers. And he was not given the information that the real author of the piece had come forward and taken responsibility and apologized for attributing the piece to him. He was found guilty, and his security rating was raised to a 5B. Now, 5B is the absolute highest security rating that somebody can have in the state of Ohio. If this grievance is not overturned, Sean is looking at a year in solitary confinement and the very real possibility of being shipped around on interstate compact from state to state. So what that would mean is that he would be in administrative segregation, and he would be getting shipped from state to state. He would have no ability to have access to any of the rehabilitative programs that are required for him to take in order to be eligible for parole in 2021. So the situation that Sean is facing is that for allegedly having written words on a piece of paper, he is looking at the potential of being in administrative segregation for the rest of his natural life. Obviously, for those of us who are his friends, this is completely unacceptable. And I urge every single one of you to go to papstexas.blogspot.com, check out our blog on how to get involved, and call in for Sean. And basically, if you want, you can do it as a 2-for-1, because it's really that same initial number that is being called, which is Brag Moore, M-O-H-R, at 614-752-1153. Now, I understand that the director's assistant may have turned off her phone due to the high volume of calls. Great, keep it up. That means that it's working. But I would encourage those of you who are unable to get through on that line, check out our website to see some of the other possibilities for calling in or writing in. Central Ohio IWOC has taken the additional step of posting his home address on their Facebook page. If you think that that is an appropriate action to take, then you may wish to gently and politely write Director Moore at his home address. I will leave that up to your discernment. So rounding up the news from Ohio, I have a piece here written by Greg Curry. Greg is also being held at Ohio State Penitentiary in Ohio. He's also innocent of a murder that was committed by somebody else, but that he was convicted of during the Lucasville uprising. I had the pleasure of also seeing Greg while I was at Ohio State Penitentiary, and I would like to take this moment now to read Greg's latest piece. An unprofessional analyst on paralysis mental illness. Mental illness has many layers. It goes without saying that a person trying to physically harm themselves is mentally ill. Not so defined as a prisoner sentenced to life, confined to a prison of any security level, whom continually wait for us to be harassed by prison low-wage cops, other prisoners' instability that could manifest in a violent outburst at any time, bad food, bad medical care, petty arbitrary rules, lack of fresh air, clean water, lack of any real hope beyond the next commissary day or family visit. Year after year, some prisoners hold out hope for a favorable court decision or parole hearing, security level reduction that never happens as he ages, as he internalizes oppression of, as he internalized suppression of basic human rights, as we normalize not being able to take a dump uninterrupted, endless strip searches. As the faith in one God or the other grows, any sign of thirst, hunger for freedom diminish. The more hours given to play, the less likely anyone cares about their situation. And yet tomorrow we're up bright and early, smiling, happy, singing, dancing within the acceptable boundaries decided by our overseers. This is mental illness. Otherwise, these gods, these courts, these lawyers, these prayers, this love, these distractions would be meaningless in the face of the actual fact that year after year, we're still here. Let's get sane. Let's have a revolution of the mind. Freedom first, Greg Curry. I'm sure that Greg would love to hear from you. His number is 213-159, and he's at Ohio State Penitentiary, 878 Coitsville Hubbard Road, Youngstown, Ohio, 44505. So I would just like to describe real quick what it was like to visit Greg. He wasn't the only person that I visited at OSP. I also visited Jermaine Scott, was unfortunately unable to see Hassan. But basically, the entirety of the visit was behind glass. We were able to take a picture, but it was with me perched on one side of the glass and him perched on the other side of the glass. And I thought this was interesting. Although there were vending machines, I could have purchased vending for myself, but they would not have allowed me to share the vending with him. Now, in Texas, if I go and visit somebody who is in administrative segregation, there is the possibility that I can purchase vending for them and that the correctional officer will then give them the vending. So because I was doing two back-to-back visits, I was basically in a situation where I could either eat in front of somebody who's not allowed to share in the food with me, and my mama raised me better than that, or I could just not eat or drink at all, which effectively meant that from the time that I got to the unit at about 8:45, by the time I left the unit at about 2:30, I was unable to eat or drink. Now, this is a small sacrifice to pay. Obviously, Hassan is on a hunger strike right now. Sean's been on hunger strikes before. Greg's been on hunger strikes before. But I would just like to remind everyone just the conditions that we're dealing with here in terms of isolation. So I did 5 prison visits in 4 days. And most of the people that I went to visit had not had a visit in years. One of the people I visited had not had a visit since 2007. Now, I understand that some of you might say, what can I do about this? And the answer is going to be the same answer that I've been giving you every month here on New American Dream. Write a postcard. Please, write a letter. Reach out across the razor wire. You don't know how it's going to change you. You don't know how it's going to change the person who receives it. But most importantly, it's important for us to be creating connection. You don't know when you plant a seed, what tree you will get, what fruit that tree will bear in your life, in the life of the prisoner, but most importantly, in the life of our community. We must be planting the seeds of revolution, and those seeds of revolution begin with connection. It begins with you. It begins with me. A lot of you seem to think that what I do is somehow crazy or impossible, like what I'm doing is not something that you can do. But the truth of the matter is, all it takes is being consistent and persistent. And in this particular case, we have 2 revolutionaries who desperately need your help, Sean and Hassan. They need a phone call from you, 2 Ohio officials. They need a letter from you, 2 Ohio officials, letting those officials know that the world is watching, that we will not stand by as these men watch their security rating increase, watch themselves be in a situation where a friend can't even give them a hug because they have to be shackled or behind glass. This is simply unacceptable. The reality of the situation is that most of you think that if you had been alive in Nazi Germany, you would have stood up against the Nazis. You would have torn down those concentration camps. Well, let me tell you something. Each and every American citizen lives within 10 miles of a concentration camp. It's called a prison, and we're not doing enough about it. For those of you who don't believe me, this is institutionalized slavery. There is no question about the human rights
complete and utter lack of human rights that we're seeing in this situation. So you have two options. You can continue to listen to me and say, wow, she sounds really passionate about this. That's awesome. Change the channel. Or you can pick up a pen, you can pick up a postcard, you can pick up a wrist stamp, and you can make a connection with an individual person right this second. Which is it going to be? Power to the people. Can't wait for August 21st. You'll be hearing about all of the other people who are being repressed for engaging in these sorts of actions to try to resist and try to rebel. You can sit on the sidelines or you can help to support them. I hope that you will join me. Have a good day.
Thank you, Azura. And I really appreciate your passion and what you're saying. And I hope some of us will get out there and do something about it. Thanks again.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Well, I hear that train a-coming, it's rolling round the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since. I don't know when I'm stuck at Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. I bet there's rich folks eating a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars, but I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But the people keep on moving, and that's what tortures me. What that freed me from this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line, far from Folsom Prison. That's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away. I hear that train a-coming, rolling round the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since. I don't know when, but I'm stuck at Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. That train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone, on down to San Antone.
Thank you, Chuck. In our next half hour, we will hear from Jim Fetzer in Madison, Wisconsin. We'll also hear from Thomas Wortman in Cleveland. Thomas is the director of the Ohio MUFON, Mutual UFO Network. Jim Fetzer is a reporter, a retired professor in logic. He is a internet phenomenon, I would say. He's on radio shows. He's everywhere. He's an author, so in the next half hour, we'll hear Jim Fetzer and Thomas Wortman. And it was so good to hear from Frank. It was so good to hear from Azura Crispino again, talking about these vital issues, prison issues that we don't hear that much about. It's so easy to forget about people in prison. And sometimes we're shocked when we go drive down the highway on a nice vacation and there's a stinking prison. Right there. Thank you.
message.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Ohio Exo Politics will be on from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A. Mark Schneier will have guests on that will discuss many important topics, including the state of the world today. However, much of the show will be dedicated to the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Let me read a short passage from one of his writings. Love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. All of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. Please join Mark on Ohio Exopolitics from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest to the show is Jim Fetzer. Jim Fetzer is a retired philosophy professor, is retired from the University of Minnesota at Duluth. Jim is a radio show host. He's an author. He has researched, just about everything. He's done. He's probably the go-to person to find out about what really happened with JFK, 9/11, also Sandy Hook. He and I work on Moonrock Books, moonrockbooks.com. Jim Fetzer is now living in Madison, Wisconsin. He's still researching, still writing, still the guy to go to. Look for his stuff at jimfetzer.wordpress.com. And now, Chuck, Jim Fetzer, if we can get his interview called up. Might not have Jim's piece ready yet. Like I said, Jim has written on the JFK assassination extensively. He has, if you go to a website called Assassination Science, there's a lot of his stuff there. Also at Moonrock Books. I'm not sure right now. I'm just not sure what the radio shows he's on. I think he's on that blue
radio. We're just having a little problem here, and I'm not able to play Jim's interview right now. So if we could do another bit and then come back and then do Jim in a second, that would be better.
Okay. Hello, I'm Tom Brady from the New England Patriots, because I'm afraid if I tell you the truth, I won't be able to live my good life in America and be a pro football player on TV and rich and have a car and a house and a family in America. If I tell you the truth about America and its soldiers and veterans, I will be destroyed. I'm Joseph, high school football coach. I'm a coward. I'm a co-conspirator in the raping and murdering and plundering of the world by America's military. I'm Anne, emergency room nurse. I am an American. I'm afraid of other Americans, really afraid. Hi, I'm Bill, your dentist. I want to be liked. I don't want to be an outcast. I cannot be. Good morning. I'm Mrs. Thompson, your daughter's third period English teacher. I want to be able to exist, at least exist within a thin bubble. I get one chance at living, and I'm not going to waste it by telling you the truth. So, we just all want to say thank you to all of our nation's veterans and on-duty military for protecting us. You keep us free. You are heroes. Chuck, you want me to go on, or how are you doing?
It's probably going to be another 3 or 4 minutes.
The American Academy of Letters and Colors, numbers, consonants, rhyming words, dot to dot, scratch and sniff, education and high honors, has announced that people should stop reading newspapers, magazines, and immediately stop watching TV news. It's a shame that you even started, to tell you the truth, says the press release document. We mean, what good is all that other stuff if you don't even know this? Continues the official press release document. The Academy is offering a doctorate in liberal arts and education, history and meaning and stuff like that for watching the following documentaries, according to the press release document here. Recommended, Wellstone, They Killed Him by Snowshoe Films. A Noble Lie. RFK Must Die. Retired expert pilot John Lear, No Planes Hit the Towers on 9/11. Jim Fetzer, What Happened to JFK and Why It Matters Today. Kevin Barrett on the 9/11-2001 attack. The Assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King with William Pepper. We Need to Talk About Sandy Hook. The Boston Bombing Hoax, Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole. Charlie Sheen Talks the Truth About 9/11. A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, Bart Sabrell. the Apollo Astronaut Press Conference. To repeat, the American Academy of Letters and Colors, Numbers, Constants, Rhyming Words, Dot-to-Dot, Scratch and Sniff, Education, and High Honors has announced that people should stop reading newspapers, magazines, and immediately stop watching TV news. It's a shame that you even started, to tell you the truth, says the press release document. We mean, what good is all that other stuff if you don't even know this? The Academy is offering a doctorate in liberal arts and education and history and meaning and things like that for watching the following documentaries, according to this press release document right here. Wellstone, They Killed Him, by Snowshoe Films. A Noble Lie. RFK Must Die. Retired expert pilot John Lear, No Planes Hit the Towers on 9/11. Jim Fetzer, What Happened to JFK and Why It Matters Today. Kevin Barrett, On the 9/11-2001 Attack. The Assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, with William Pepper. We Need to Talk About Sandy Hook. The Boston Bombing Hoax, Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole. Charlie Sheen talks the truth about 9/11. A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, Bart Sabrell. The Apollo Astronaut Press Conference. Hello, Chuck.
I wonder, Mike, if we should call Thomas and then see if I can get Fetzer thing working after that.
Sounds good. And next, so just like Chuck said, the next guest is going to be Thomas Wertman. Thomas Wertman is the director of the Ohio MUFON, Mutual UFO Network. And we look forward to speaking with Thomas every month from Cleveland, Ohio. And Chuck is going to attempt to contact Thomas in Cleveland, the head of the Ohio MUFON Network, right about now.
Okay, we're trying that right now.
Hello,
Thomas. It's Chuck and Mike, the New American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air. We've been having some technical problems, so we've called you a little bit early, and we probably need you to be done in about 8 minutes or so that we can play Jim Fetzer's piece that we didn't get.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because I can hear a lot of clicking in the background on there.
Well, yeah, I haven't been able to figure that out. You just kind of have to ignore that and
okay.
Talking. Sorry about that.
We can do that. We can do that. That's all right. Okay. I'm really excited. A couple weeks ago, I was able to go to the Mutual UFO National Symposium, which was in New Jersey this year. And I felt really honored because I got asked to conduct one of the training sessions for field investigators. And one thing about MUFON is when we do our cases out there, if somebody has a UFO site and they'd like to report, then go to our website at www.mufon.com, and they can actually fill out a report, and that will be submitted and go into the database, and it gets fed back to the state that witness happens to be living in. And what happens is the investigators within that state or the local investigators we have will reach out and contact that witness to do follow-up on those cases. Well, what they asked me to do was conduct one of the training sessions for those field investigators. We had about 50 field investigators in the room of, I think, roughly about 500 we have internationally right now. And I got to present field investigator training on different computer and software techniques out there, which is really excited about. Because the whole idea is we want to create standards for a lot of our field investigators so that everybody has a lot of similar skills, since all of our people are volunteers. Now, what I did to begin with, I was demonstrating in this case how to basically eliminate a lot of the potential knowns that individuals may be seeing out there. Because once we scrub down past those knowns, then we get down to the unknowns, which is what we're really going after. And one of the first things I did is I demonstrated how they can actually use software on their computer to do a lot of case investigation. One of the first things I started out with is aircraft, because 90% of the cases that people report can be identified as possible man-made objects, natural celestial objects, etc. And when I was doing my demonstration techniques on identifying possible aircraft, I was showing the field investigators how to go to different websites and actually pull up flight information going back up to 2 years, showing aircraft going across their country, like commercial aircraft or private aircraft that has transponders on them. One of the examples I did was I showed them how there was a UFO report by two commercial airliners out in Arizona. I showed them how to pull up the exact time frame that those airliners were traveling through that region. And I also demonstrated to field investigators how to look for other aircraft in that area and eliminate possible knowns. Well, in this case, I even was able to put myself basically almost in the seat of one of the commercial airliners looking forward from their altitude, their airspeed, traveling the directions they were. And we were able to kind of look forward and see if there were aircraft in front of us. And the two pilots of two separate aircraft reported UFOs above their aircraft by several thousand feet. With what we were seeing for the demonstration I did, we did not see any commercial flights directly above them. On. Now, it doesn't mean it wasn't military, because again, I can't access that, but it said at least that we weren't seeing commercial flights potentially at that point. Another thing I showed them is Google has balloons, of which they have a project called Loon. I showed them actually how to track those high-flying balloons that they're using for internet purposes out there. The purpose is they provide internet communication to remote areas. And there happened to be several of them flying on the day I was giving my example out over the Oregon region. And they were most likely using something like that to help with the forest fires out in the California area on there and up through Oregon. So I did a demonstration on, again, in this case, the flight software out there. Another thing I did is I was demonstrating how to use astronomy software. One of the images I put up on the screen was a photograph an individual had sent in to me from a digital camera. He shows a streak going across the sky. And what I was able to do is identify where the witness was standing at, put myself in the exact same position on the ground, basically, and using computer technology, go back in time, basically, what I call my little Wayback Machine, put myself where the witness was standing at, looking in the same direction the witness was at, and put myself in the same time frame, and what do I see is the ISS going by. And I did a computer overlay, dropping his photograph on top of the image of my computer-generated software, and I used the stars for alignment in the background, and we saw that we had a perfect match for what the witness in this case happened to be seeing. There is also a second object in that same photograph that we identified in this case that happened to be an aircraft. Another thing I did, was informing the field investigators along with this is there's satellites out there called Iridium flares. I've had some individuals report UFOs that they just happened to be looking at the sky at a certain time frame at night. And when they looked up, they saw this flash that they described as being almost like the USS Enterprise going into warp speed. There's this big flash, and all of a sudden it looks like something just took off and left. Well, there's satellites called Iridium flares. And what happens is these things have huge solar panels on them, and they're orbiting at a certain altitude above the Earth. And when they catch the sunlight just right at a couple times a day, you may see this huge flash coming off the panels. Now, it can be evening, let's say, for example, 10, 11 o'clock at night, yet they're picking up the sun from another point on the Earth that's out of our view, and it reflects off of those panels. But I was also giving them updates, which is going to make what's going to be important for them is there's websites we can go to which give us the time frame for these flashes to appear. But what they're doing now is they're developing newer satellites that this doesn't happen with. these new iridium satellites will not be creating the flashes in the future like what we're seeing. It would be much more unpredictable. And even some of the current satellites that we have, the current technology, they're actually deorbiting some of these and bringing them down because they're, I guess you could say, they're almost like an obsolete satellite, but they want to keep them up in space in case they need them in the future. But they're bringing them out of their normal position. So again, these are not going to be producing, in this case, flashes either. Some other things I demonstrated for the individuals out there is I get reports occasionally that individuals are talking about military aircraft flying in a region chasing UFOs. Well, sometimes that may actually have a natural explanation that they're actually conducting evening exercises. I was demonstrating to investigators on where they can locate on certain flight maps what are marked as military operations areas. We happen to have some in the state I'm from, Ohio, in the southern part of which they conduct military exercises at evenings on there. We had a number of reports coming in during the evening of where individuals reporting military jets flying at certain times at evening. I was able to show the group where here not only was the group which is flying down here, but it shows the time standards that these were also being flown. But here again, to give the investigators new information, some of the things I was finding out is one of the groups here in Ohio is transferring over from using standard fighters to using drones. And these drones aren't going to be using regular radio communication, because what I found out is the current military jets flying in that region, amateur radio people are actually monitoring their air traffic. And what we did is we reached out to one of those groups and they actually told us who was flying down in that region, what time they were flying, what code names the pilots were using. But they also said the same thing, that when the drones get down there, there's going to be no radio communication. So here they're going to be flying drones potentially the evening in those areas down there. People are going to be seeing objects that they can't really explain. And it could be completely unknown. We don't know. But it also may be military aircraft down there conducting exercises. And one other area that we kind of got into during the training, which I didn't conduct, was we got into evidence collection out there. Again, a lot of cases that we receive can be explained. But when you get into these cases, in this case, where there's evidence that may have to be collected, you want to make sure everybody's on the same page when they go to do this. As an example, at one of my meetings a couple of years ago, somebody announced there's a crop circle found about 10 miles from where we were. All of a sudden, all these people wanted to pile in and go down and start looking for this crop circle that didn't have a clue on how to do investigative techniques. Well, if they would have gone in the way, if they would have found it and gone in the way they were, number one, they could have been in danger because the farmer who owned that property wouldn't have been happy. But on the other hand, they could have gone in there and destroyed potential evidence within that field. I've been involved with crop circle investigations before, where they've taken down roughly about 5 acres of corn. And we wanted to make sure that when we did our research on that field, that we didn't damage things in the process on it. We kept the field as intact as possible. And that we collected evidence and had it marked, cataloged, so we knew where the evidence was taken from, exactly where the samples were, that we had control samples. We did a proper collection so we could do a good analysis on the materials that we collected. Another thing individuals may not realize if they went charging into a field like that. What if it wasn't, if something came down and landed in that field, for example, what if it was a satellite? A lot of satellites may burn up in space before they completely re-enter. But what if there's some fragments that happen to come down? Those fragments also could be potentially radioactive if they're from certain satellites. So individuals going to those regions want to make sure that they're using proper techniques. A number of our field investigators out there have Geiger counters and other equipment, so if they do happen to go in, we're more prepared for situations like that. So in that day that I got to spend over there, we did a tremendous amount, in this case, of training over all these different areas. We also went into how to conduct interviews and talk to people who have potentially, in this case, missing time, which relate back to potential abduction cases on there. We had a group in this case we called our Experiencers Workshop out there, where you had individuals who were talking about their own potential experiences and comparing notes on those. So it was really, really a full day of training out there. And once we got past, we went into our normal symposium. We had a number of speakers coming in. Matter of fact, our keynote speaker for that weekend was Luis Elizondo, who was with the Pentagon. In one of the previous shows, I talked about the Pentagon situation in which they admitted to running a program of which, by our government standards, the $22 million was, I guess we'd say, chump change compared to what the government normally spends. But the gentleman who was in charge of that program came in and talked about what he was allowed to talk about, some of his basic duties and the things that were going on, what they were kind of looking for. And I was very, very impressed with his talk. Again, he was very forward, saying there's certain things I can't talk about, but if I can, I will gladly talk about them. And I think one of the highlights at the end of his talk was he took questions and answers from the audience. And he took a number of questions from the audience, of which he answered as many questions as he could. But then he hit a number of questions which, due to his position he had, he was not able to talk about. And it goes back to things for like national security. One individual who asked him a question, got up to ask him a question, was an individual called Travis Walton. Travis Walton, your audience may know, is a individual who went through a potential, or actually an abduction situation back in the 1970s. They've made movies about him. And the minute he got up to ask his question, Mr. Elizondo recognized who it was. And he jokingly said, "I think I have to go to the bathroom and leave the stage right now." It's almost like he didn't want, he was a little bit hesitant about what questions were going to be asked by this individual. But Mr. Walton was very professional on there. He did say that, you know, he's surprised at how many safe questions are being asked that Mr. Elizondo couldn't answer. But on the other hand, he wanted to compliment Mr. Elizondo for coming forward and doing everything he could to push the subject of UFOs out in the forefront on there. Mr. Elizondo went on to say that groups like MUFON are going to be the ones who are going to be pushing for this information to come out, just because we can do things on the outside that the government can't do, that they're on the private sector on there. So it was an extremely good weekend on there. Very draining, because I had an 8-hour drive over, 8-hour drive back, but it was a tremendous weekend on there. A lot of opportunity to network with other people out there in the UFO communities. Hear some great stories from individuals across the country, as a matter of fact, across the world, and compare notes on the subject.
Thank you, Thomas. As you probably noticed, we decided to let you finish. We just could not cut it off. We decided to fit the other one in on the so thank
well,
you.
I guess when I heard that moment of silence on there.
Okay, we'll talk to you next time.
Okay, I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest of the show is Jim Fetzer. Jim Fetzer is a retired professor from the University of Minnesota Duluth. He's a reporter. He's an internet radio show talk show host. And we're going to hear from Jim Fetzer right about now.
Mike, Chuck, great to be with you guys again. I so admire what you're doing with the New American Dream. We have a fascinating display of democracy at work on television today, broadcasting the Senate hearing for Peter Strzok, who was an FBI agent at the core of the corrupt efforts to protect Hillary Clinton and impeach Donald Trump for offenses that he did not commit. It's an extension of the Russian hacking meme, which we know was created by Robbie Mook and John Podesta. They made it up out of whole cloth within 48 hours of Hillary's concession speech in order to divert attention from the incompetent campaign they had run, from the contents of WikiLeaks revelations that led directly to Pizzagate, where John Podesta himself is pedophile in chief, and from her own entanglements with Russia, which included selling off 20% of U.S. uranium reserves from Russia for a $145 million contribution to the Clinton Foundation, documented by two investigative journalists who had followed the Clinton campaign and published about it in their book Shattered, published early in 2017, exposing the whole hoax. But you haven't heard about it from the mainstream media because the Democrats find it so beneficial to promote falsehoods, fakery, propaganda. And I say this as one who was one for most of my career. I voted Democratic. I voted for Bill Clinton twice. I voted for Barack Obama twice. But when it came to the choice between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, I could not bring myself to vote for a sadistic monster who is done immeasurable damage to the United States. And it's very stunning to me how the left has continued to perpetuate fraudulent misrepresentations, for example, about the Donald separating children from their parents and enforcing the laws of the nation, because those laws were signed by none other than Bill Clinton, the husband of Hillary, who's even giving indications of possibly running again in 2020, except it couldn't possibly be Hillary. It would have to be one of her body doubles. We have new revelations, by the way, not only that Obama had Susan Rice contact the British to spy on Donald Trump and his administration. I mean, it's outrageous. These are revelations coming from the DNC server, where we now have a new source, where I've reported upon it now with Louisa on the Goldfish Report of Monday and on Truth Versus News with Scott Bennett and Michael J. Anderson on Wednesday. It's really important stuff. And where you can see included therein how the document showing that Hillary's campaign bought the DNC hook, line, and sinker, which was then used to manipulate the entire outcome to guarantee that Hillary would be the candidate. It includes another photograph of Hillary meeting with troops in the Middle East, but it's not Hillary. It's someone who's much younger, more attractive. I encourage you to check out my fake news, Issues of Identity, on 153news.net. That's a secure site separate and apart from YouTube, which has been regularly taking down my contributions. 153news.net, fake news, Issues of Identity. You'll find some rather disturbing proof that Hillary even used body doubles during the campaign, during the nationally televised debates, both with Bernie Sanders on the one hand and with Donald Trump on the other. We have to learn from experience and not allow ourselves to be deceived and manipulated again, where the Democratic Party has become grotesque, absolutely grotesque. And even Hillary is complaining about the child separation policy signed into law by her husband, where Obama, during his two terms, separated 90,000 kids from their parents. Donald Trump, following the laws of the land as he's obligated as our chief executive, separated only 2,000. And he's now, of course, signed an executive order to halt the practice. But that means Obama, Barack, was 45 times worse than the Donald here, but you didn't hear a peep about it from liberals or Hillary or the Democrats at all. It's part of their paranoia, their efforts to demonize the Donald, which are absolutely stunning. Let me say, too, that Robert David Steele, whom I admire increasingly day by day, has warned us about the potential for a false flag in the United States using nuclear weapons in Chicago, the most likely target being the Sears Tower, now known as the Willis Tower, owned by none other than Larry Silverstein, who brought us 9/11. The World Trade Center was put into his private hands for the first time just six weeks in advance of the event, where the whole matter was orchestrated by the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense and the Mossad. Robert David Steele is now publishing a series of memoranda, one-page memoranda about 9/11 for the benefit of the President of the United States. They began on the 4th of July, his own first memorandum entitled 9/11 Domestic False Flag Operations and Your Legacy, also the same day by 3 proofs we have not been told the truth about 9/11. On the 6th of July, they were followed by Joe Olson, memorandum for the president, the Twin Towers were destroyed using clean nukes, WTC-7, with conventional demolitions, and by Victor Thorne, now deceased, the Zionist role in planning, funding, and controlling 9/11. on the 7th of July by Christopher Bolin, 9/11 and the War on Terror, Israel's History of False Flag Operations Against the United States, a very impressive document that was allowed to go over one page because the list of Israel's attacks on the United States is so compelling. David Ray Griffin on the 8th of July, proposal for a presidential 9/11 truth summit. 9/11 July, Fred Burks, evidence 9/11 used to launder $240 billion in covert securities in a covert economic war. 10 July, Eric Huffschmidt, please find the courage to declare 9/11 a false flag operation. 11 July, Scott Bennett, how 9/11 was funded, the man behind the missing $2.3 trillion. 12 July, Kevin Barrett, Muslims were framed for 9/11, fake news, mainstream media silences with a half a dozen or more to come. This is brilliant work, brilliant work. One page of these, check it out. Go to the name Robert David Steele, go to his websites, you wind up at Phi Beta Iota, and you can follow these memoranda. Don't miss it. This is absolutely sensational stuff. The world needs to know. And I just want to emphasize, too, that he has a number of additional references supporting the 9/11 POTUS series, including a brilliant piece on 9/11 by Dennis Camino, 9/11, a swirling volcano of lies, originally published on my blog. You can find that link there. Another 9/11 reference document from 2015, Meet Ashton Carter, Rothschild agent. Another 9/11 precursor document, Catastrophic Terrorism, Tackling the New Public Danger, The Elegance of Zionist Information Operations Over Time. Another Mongoose, is Rahm Emanuel in Chicago to coordinate and then cover up the next Zionist false flag attack in the USA. All this is stunning stuff. He's doing a brilliant job. This man is providing real leadership for the nation. I endorse him 100%, and I encourage everyone here that you ought to go to Robert David Steele. Check out 9/11, Phi Beta Iota. Put in his name, go to his websites. You'll see the most recent of the memos today. It's Kevin Barrett. Muslims were framed. Tomorrow, no doubt, another. Actually, it will be Ed Jewett. 9/11, the Zionist Rothschild use of agents. The day after that, the 14th, Peter Dale Scott. 9/11, Dick Cheney and the hijacking of the U.S. government. You cannot miss this for the sake of the nation. You must understand one-page memoranda. You can come back again and again and again. Chuck, Mike, thank you once more. And I can't begin to tell Mike how much I admire the brilliance of Penn Magazine. He's doing a great job, as you are both, with a new American dream.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's been another long week in Moon Rock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. Get the ride. We can change it any time we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings and money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Bill Hicks. Someone was killing the Democrats of Orange County, Ohio. I wouldn't have cared, but, well, I was a Democrat. I did not much care to have my throat slit as I pulled into the garage or have my brakes fail and plow headlong into the concrete culvert out on the bypass around the curb by the new Taco John's, have my head split like a good watermelon, or have a 50-pound stack of sugar fall on my neck from the top shelf as I bent down to try to read the label on the All Brand with my trifocal. Prime suspect was Jesus, Ohio, the terrorist. He left his high school classroom the same morning that 9/11 happened and just took off. He'd seen all he needed to see. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. God bless America. Oh, my God. How you doing? Let me catch my breath. Deployed with the guys on one of the silver metal benches outside City Swimming Pool. We're watching for terrorists. Dude, they went dead dog giveaway. Just a late in summer. I suppose the moms have up those El Primo tans. The lifeguards, their one piece red suits, those whistles that dangle like necklaces. That'd be myself, Don, Milt, Al, and Fred. We're the newly formed Municipal Special Forces Team. Total Information Terror Surveillance. Been duly organized, chartered, and deputized, I think, by the City Council to guard against terrorists. Beginning this month and running through the school year, is how I understand it. Don came up with this idea to come here. Pools open up the Labor Day. He says, why do you think they call them wetbacks? The rest of us had to admit it made perfect sense. Of course, everybody knows Arab types often position towels on their heads. Lots of towels around here today. Al got four in his lap. Won't give any out to anybody without good reason. It's hot today. Big crowd, lots to watch, keep track of, monitor, observe. Sometimes we get soaked. We're pretty close to the action. We act like we like it that way. Al's got the beeper in case we need to call for backup towels. His wife's home most of the day. Tomorrow she got shit to do. By now, the lifeguard don't wear that white stuff on their nose. It's everything all natural. Got sunglasses from the Ben Franklin store. Orange terror vest and shorts and special Homeland orange hard hats. That was Al's idea. They come to state highway maintenance shed from the big patch job that had last summer out by the go-kart track. Well, if it gets too hot, well, Don's going to ask a councilman, who was his neighbor, if we can take him off while the pool has rest break. Get some breeze. Some ladies get up quick when they're napping on their stomachs, and they get splashed. Maybe they have that one string knot tied. Well, I had to go home early yesterday. Get to a guy that works not for everyone, and we've each got a terror whistle on a string around our necks. Fred blew his loud for about a minute straight just a few minutes ago when Mr. Champlain walked past on her way to the Walker Fountain. I don't think he even knew he was doing it. One day, all about a guy, it's about all a guy can do not to blow the damn thing all day long. Don keeps his in his mouth all the time, like a referee. He's not move, scratch, nothing. He loves freedom that darn much. He is so dedicated. Inspiration to us all. What we need times like these. Need guys with things in their mouths. Hamburgers, beer bottles, spoons, straw. And girls, too. Girls and guys, dogs and cats with stuff stuck in their mouths staring. And blankly over the prairie into space. Across the living room, the kitchen table, keeping an eye out if we're truly to be free. Free of knowing, caring about anyone but ourselves. The true nature of our government or the history of our country. Free, free, free. Thank God Almighty, free. Okay, well, nothing happening here at the moment. Boom, look out, cannonball! God bless the USA. Go about your day. I got this. news from Moon Rock Lake. Where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the journalists and Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security, COINTELPRO, lone gunmen are about average. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. A lot of questions you have. There are no wrong questions. No hidden black military budget. There are no UFO files Americans cannot see. No JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetime. No destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police. No evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. You're not the USSR of the 1960s. This is supposed to be America. It's our dream to become America, the new America, real hope of the world. You have a dream of bringing the United States politicians, journalists, and generals who brought about all these wars, this debacle. Bring them to trial. Put them on TV, just like OJ, every afternoon. So every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings, the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not a new homes and toasters and microwaves, but a come in the type of country we always thought we were. Right now, we live on lies. We subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job. They all know it. We need an America's Truth Commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country. We need to put certain people on the stand. Need to be allowed to ask questions because our country is surely broken as well. The troops are not protecting us. That's someone spitting on the news. Somebody's advertising slogan, someone else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They're not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas, they serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go face to face with the empire. Those in the plowshares movement, for one example. You have to know Donald Trump knows the whole truth about 9/11. He's complicit. He's lied. He continued the wars everywhere based on a lie. He knows he's lying. Trump lies right to our faces on national television, just like Barack Obama did when he said Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Osama bin Laden buried at sea. Jessica Lynch rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 election. See? There's a plane right there in that hole in Shanksville. Went all the way into that hole. No, there's no blood, no body, no luggage scattered, no plane parts. I'm looking at the buried. Remember the anthrax letters which said, are you afraid? Well, those were not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government, like a horror movie, and the killers in the same house with us. The killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid. Thank you for joining us tonight on the New American Dream Radio Show. We apologize for technical issues, but I think we ended up getting a pretty darn good show out to you. And, well, thank you, Mike, and good night.
And thank you, Chuck, for all you do, all the interviews, the technical guru stuff, everything that makes your show possible, and especially so on nights like this where it's a struggle to get through. But you did it, and thank you very much. And yeah, it was some great stuff. Thanks to our guests, Jim Fetzer, Azura Crispino, Thomas Wortman, Ava Bird, Phil Ferruggio, and Frank Cordero. Please visit the New American Dream website, where you will find information about all of our regular guests and also the show archives. It's at newdream.us. Also, Penn Magazine, P-E-N-N, magazine.us. If you'd like to donate to the Des Moines Catholic Worker in Frank Cordero's place, write to the Phil Berrigan House, 713 Indiana Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, 50314. And for the Chiapas Catholic Worker, Richard Flamer, donations can be sent to the Chiapas Project, care of Holy Family Catholic Church, 1715 Izard, Izard Street, Omaha, Nebraska, 68102. And for their website, it's the Chiapas Project, Chiapas, ChiapasProject.com. And so, good night to my friends, Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hawkstrong. Good night, Ken Lay. Good night, Muhammad Atta. Good night, Omar Mateen. Good night, Noah Posner. Good night, Crystal Campbell. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
He's 5'2" and he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. Been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist and a Baptist and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA, and he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan, and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy. He's fighting for the rest. He says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die. And he never sees the writing on the wall. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned them at Dachau? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon of the war. And without him, all this killing can't go on. He's the universal soldier, and he really is to blame. His orders come from far away no more. They come from here and there. And you and me, and brothers, can't you see? This is not the way we put the end to war. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
See it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses eating and drink themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We've got to stop them. They're going to kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution.